It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
If there's one part of my speech that I hope you listen to and take to heart, it's this one. And I mean it with the best of intentions. If you abandon change and simply embrace the shopworn, hard-right, pro-corporate, pro-elite policies diametrically opposed to the many campaign themes that helped you win working-class votes and get you elected, your presidency will not succeed. We Democrats will hold you accountable to the work people of America, not to the conservative ideologues in Washington who seem to have great number in your cabinet. We will hold your feet to the fire every time you abandon your pledge and work instead as an ally of the hard right. So, Mr. President, the issues facing this country are many. We have a lot of work to do. Creating jobs, raising incomes, making college and health care affordable, rebuilding our infrastructure, making trade laws work for the American worker, keeping Americans safe from threats of violence and terrorism, taking care of our vets. Now, each one takes serious thought and action. These issues are too important for mere words. Our challenges too entrenched for mere tweeting. Making America great again requires more than 140 characters per issue.
All right, that's enough. With that's Chuck Schumer. He's the new leader of the Senate, taking the gavel from Harry Reid. And, you know, I just have to say, well, I'm thinking that Trump is not even president yet. And these are the headlines that I read this morning. Happened after the show yesterday. Ford cancels Mexico plant, will create 700 U.S. jobs in vote of confidence in Trump. It says, we didn't cut a deal with Trump. We did it for our business because Trump is telling them there will be tax breaks. The tax rate is going to be lowered. There will be more friendly rules. The EPA would not be out of control. And so all of these businesses are coming back home, bringing work. And secondly, another headline from CNBC, U.S. construction spending hits more than a 10-year high in November, the highest since it's been in April of 2006. So, Mr. Schumer, yeah, you tell us. What's going to make America live again? What's going to give it jobs? You tell us what you've been doing for the past, well, Chuck Schumer's been in there for decades, but for the past 8 years of the Obama administration, you tell me. And always, when you hear the left speak, and when they start accusing, always remember that they are telling you what they are up to. When they say cooperating, trying to destroy the middle class, whatever it is that they are saying, what they are accusing, that's what they're doing. And it's actually a great clue. So that's what's on their minds because that's what they're busy doing. If it comes to fake news, that's what they're doing. They're creating fake news. So then it's the pot calling the kettle black. It's transference. It's a psychological principle. And so just remember, they're not speaking the truth. They're just putting on others what they themselves are guilty of. And so Chuck Schumer bloviated, blah, 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 on the Senate floor yesterday. But there were a lot of interesting things that happened. The new Senate was gaveled into order. And I have to say, I was very grateful that Barack, and surprised, really, that President Obama did not use that 5 minutes to get Merrick Garland into the Supreme Court. I really thought he would do that, but he didn't. And so we can be grateful for some things, I'm thinking. Politico has a report this morning about, this is the title of it. Of course, Politico remembers a leftist paper. Always, always, always remember, not that you don't read these outlets, but that you read them understanding that they have an agenda. Look for words that are prejudicial. Look for ways that they say things. And then just read with awareness, and that's the way to do it. This headline is GOP plans to crush Democratic opposition to Trump cabinet. This is interesting. Senate Republicans have a plan to break the Democratic resistance to Donald Trump's cabinet, make their delay tactics as excruciating as possible. And by the way, Democrats are threatening to hold up these nominees through at least March. I don't think they can do that, to be honest with you. But according to Politico, the Senate Republicans are preparing to keep the chamber running around the clock if that's what it takes to speedily confirm Trump's cabinet. It goes on to say it's the kind of retaliatory strategy that will bring all-night sessions, 3 a.m. votes, and a long slog through the first 3 months of Trump's presidency that could sap some of the GOP's legislative momentum. John Thune, the number three Senate Republican, said the GOP will do whatever it takes to get Trump his team as quickly as possible. Well, we'll see. I'm glad. You know, I hope this is true. I mean, we have not seen these, I'm trying to think of a nice word, these senators who occupy leather seats for their own benefit repeatedly and enrich themselves. We have not seen them do anything that has cost them anything in a very long time. So we'll see. If they'll actually do that, I think that would be a marvelous thing. There was something that happened yesterday. It's actually kind of complex, and I don't think I need to tell you all about it. I think the most important thing to tell you is important. How's that for doublespeak? In the House of Representatives, in a late-night vote, night before last, the House Republicans gutted an independent ethics committee. All right, so the backstory on this committee was formed by Nancy Pelosi. It's a committee that will allow anonymous complaints or accusations against members, and then investigations start, and the members don't even know who's accusing and where the information came from, and of course they come after the conservatives. So when the House committee, or I don't know if it was all the members of the House, I think it was, in this meeting, met, they decided to vote to do away by the rules with this ethics committee. But the problem is, of course, that they didn't explain anything. They just did it. It looks like they don't want accountability, like they're the new sheriffs in town and they're doing away with ethics, which was really not the truth. It's actually quite complex, and there's a division among conservatives over this, because some, like Tom Fitton of Judicial Watch, believe that this committee serves some value, even though it's been used kind of it's been a nightmare for conservative congressmen. Now, Paul Ryan and Kevin McCarthy are bragging that they didn't support it, but they didn't support doing away with it because now there's backlash. But the reason they don't care is because they are so moderate to liberal that they're never targeted. It's the conservatives who are targeted. Now, I say all that to say that there is a reason why the ethics committee was done away with. At least they tried to limit its powers, at least make it a rule that congressmen and entities who brought accusations had to do it by name. They couldn't do anonymous accusations with no foundation, where congressmen were just floundering trying to defend themselves against what they didn't know what. So they were trying to do something meaningful, but they totally botched the messaging of it. Because the headlines, of course, from the left read that the Republicans don't want accountability, they're doing away with ethics, and on and on and on it goes. But here's the point I think that is the most important point of this little drama playing out, is that Donald Trump went to Twitter and said to them, let's see, what did he say? Oh, here it is. Here is his tweet. With all that Congress has to work on, do they really have to make the weakening of the independent ethics watchdog as unfair as it is? Maybe their number one act and priority? Focus on tax reform, health care, and so many other things of far greater importance. All right, so Donald Trump tweets this, and then suddenly everything changes. The GOP leadership goes apoplectic, and they go back in, and they reverse the thing that they did in a late-night meeting, which I have to emphasize, to me, was not wrong. It's probably a good thing for the sake of our conservative brothers and sisters in the House who have been the target of this terrible committee that was set up by Nancy Pelosi. I understand why they did that, but what the Republican leadership is pathetic at, is explaining, making their case. They're always running and hiding and trying to do things secretly because they can't articulate, and because the conservatives in the House don't have leadership. They don't They don't trust Paul Ryan and Kevin McCarthy for good reasons, and Kathy McMorris Rodgers either. They were leaderless on this, and they're not in a position to have the millions of dollars that Paul Ryan has for PR. He's the one that should be making the case for this, but he didn't. And so he backtracked, and now they're backtracking and blah, 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 blahing about this, but it has been reversed. But here's the point to me. Donald Trump stepped in just in a tweet, and they were scared. I don't mean the rank and file. I mean the leadership. And they did what they thought he wanted them to do. That's an insight to me, because I've wondered how House and Senate leadership is going to respond to Donald Trump's leadership. It makes sense. You know, they don't have courage. They're not men of courage. And so they get scared. And someone who, powers up on them usually has their way. And it's been Obama and the Democrats. So perhaps, maybe, you know, could it be possible that the Republican leadership could actually get something done with the nudge, constant nudge of a Donald Trump? I don't know. The other issue is, of course, that now here's the headline from Fox. It says, Republicans deliver on day one promise, begin Obamacare repeal on the Hill. This is very complex, too, but methinks maybe not. And I've been saying this to you for quite a while, that I don't trust them. I think that they want to do a partial repeal because they don't want to do the hard work of really doing away with it. And besides, there's a lot of money to be made by their supporters who are healthcare professionals. So it's going to be interesting. Tom Price, of course, is the head of Health and Human Services, and he wants it over. He wants it done with. He has his own plan. And I know that I think that Trump wants it over with, too. So this is going to be interesting. And actually, tomorrow, we're going to do a lot on this. So I hope that you'll tune in, and we'll talk in more detail about whether or not the Senate and the House will actually fulfill their promise to repeal and replace Obamacare, or if they will buckle at the knees and make it easy for themselves and just do part of it and try to take credit. That's what their natural bent is. I'm not sure Trump is going to let them get away with that this time. There's an interesting, golly, which way shall I go here with news? A couple of things. If you wonder why many of us are so grateful that the election came out the way it did, let me just read a couple of headlines for you. In California alone, the DMV licensed 800,000 undocumented immigrants in the last few months of 2015. Now, you know that Motor Voter allows you very carelessly to sign up to vote when you get your driver's license. So I'm not saying 800,000 undocumented immigrants voted in California's election, but I'm saying many of them could have. Based on the sloppiness, now they're allowing them to get driver's licenses, and that is where people sign up to vote, and you're not, you know, it's amazing. We all know that the left wants as many undocumented illegal immigrants here as possible for whatever reason you fill in the blanks. And so 800,000, and they're bragging about how California went to Hillary Clinton by 2 million votes. Well, I wonder why. I just wonder why. And also a headline, the feds continue to drop migrants at a Texas bus stop, at multiple bus stops. You know what they were doing. They just take them in buses and take them and then they disperse throughout the country and disappear. So that's still happening. And I told you just a few days ago, at least I meant to tell you, that the border is just overrun right now. Same thing. There's just a flood of immigrants, illegal immigrants, trying to get in before Trump becomes president. The good news to me, Reuters is reporting that the president-elect and his transition team are asking the Department of Homeland Security to assess all the assets available for border wall and barrier construction. So, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that help is on the way. All right, well, coming up next, while we've been doing other things, Planned Parenthood is just apoplectic because they think that the handwriting is on the wall for them. And, of course, that makes us think of David Dalyden and those undercover videos, the selling of baby body parts. What's been going on with that? We're going to talk about it when we come back. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. 1,790 families have had their homes rebuilt because of you, the listener at American Family Radio, when you've partnered with 8 Days of Hope. We've been all over the country helping disaster victims to no fault of their own who lose everything to see volunteers show up and help them rebuild. 2 years ago, we started a rapid response division that goes within 72 hours and since then have gone to 15 communities across America. Would you consider becoming a part of 8 Days of Hope as we continue to look for ways to grow the ministry in 2017, please go to our website, 8daysofhope.com, and click on Get Involved, submit your email address, and the next time we go anywhere with a disaster, we'll invite you to come along as well. Please continue to pray for the ministry as we look forward to what God has in store for us. Thank you so much for your prayers, your financial support, and volunteering with 8 Days of Hope.
AFR urges you to support the ministry of 8 Days of Hope at 8daysofhope.com.
Truth Be Told with Nate Kellum, Chief Counsel at the Center for Religious Expression.
Homosexual activists are targeting the host of a television show on HGTV simply because they haven't disavowed the biblical teaching that homosexuality is a sin. Chip and Joanna Gaines host a show about renovating houses. They haven't publicly discussed their views about homosexuality, yet activists are up in arms, calling for a boycott of the show because the Gaines have not renounced statements from their pastor citing scriptural references to homosexuality. These activists want to intimidate Christians, making believers pledge loyalty to their cause or suffer loss of livelihood. This is not about discrimination. This is more about eliminating rights than protecting them. This is a witch hunt.
Truth Be Told from the Center for Religious Expression, clearing the path for truth. Hear more at CRELaw.org, CRELaw.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. Truett McConnell University is training students to love the Lord, love the Word, love the Church, and love the lost. Scripture is the foundation for everything they do. It's who they are, preparing students not just for a career, but to fulfill God's high calling on their lives. Truett McConnell University offers a wide array of bachelor's programs, some online, and they also have an outstanding Master of Arts in Theology. So if you'd like to schedule a visit to Truett's campus in the North Georgia Mountains, visit truett.edu. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo wants to make state universities tuition-free. And by tuition-free, he means the American taxpayers are going to be footing the bill. The governor announced his plan alongside America's most infamous socialist, Senator Bernie Sanders. Bernie called the governor's proposal revolutionary. Governor Cuomo wants to make taxpayers fund the education of anyone making less than $125,000 a year, warning that college-related debt is at a crisis level. So instead of saddling college kids with debt, the governor wants to saddle the taxpayers. Well, here's a thought, kids. If you can't afford to pay for college, get a job. Get 2 jobs. Or better yet, if you can't handle debt, don't take out a loan. Pay as you go. It's not so much liberals want a handout as much as they want to put their hands in your wallet. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
If we alter our process and we are able to obtain intact fetal cadavers, it's all just a matter of line items.
Fresh specimens from today that we can still look at, or
we had a really long day and they're all mixed up together in a bag. Yet if I would have known 10 minutes ago, I would have saved something.
That doesn't mean it's not like we need something today. But if we could get a visual today of it, that would be a good thing. Is that possible?
Let me see. That one's probably frozen.
What we're looking for is like a visual baseline of like intactness and everything, and
how much, just how so that we know like intact they are.
Right.
Yeah. So like on a typical day, like kind of what that looks like, and then
it varies like based on gestation. Sometimes they come out really intact. Do you want to do?
You're not gonna see nothing intact today, because the way we collect the tissue, it all gets collected into one container.
You know what? Is it cremation?
Sean, can you help me out? I don't. So, I think this is lung, right?
Yes,
this
that's
is kidney.
Correct.
Yeah, this, these are lungs because that's the trachea in the middle
yes.
there.
Yes,
these are.
So the intestines are here. See?
Yeah.
This comes out, like I said, the organs come out really, really well.
Right.
All the intestines
right.
pretty much almost like.
And then this is a big kind of placenta right here.
Yes.
These orbits are good too, because and at this stage you start to get the retinal pigment epithelium,
yes.
which is in the back, which is you've collected that before.
So all the orbits are so easy, like 95%.
They're easy to find too, even in the early gestation, because you're just looking for the.
They come out like firmer.
Sandy Rios back with you. That takes us back, doesn't it? That was an audio from one of the many Planned Parenthood undercover videos that David Del Leiden. Spent a great amount of his life producing, at least a significant part of his last few years. And it was amazing to me, it still is, as I listen to that, they're talking about how easy the parts come out, and they're talking about eyeballs and lungs, and they're laughing over it. It's just, it is an amazing story that did not get the serious response from our Congress it deserved. And when I hear that, I get angry again to think that they could have defunded and they refused to for political reasons. Now, the fight goes on. Yesterday, Planned Parenthood made a statement that a new Congress is being sworn in today, which means we are entering the most dangerous moment in Planned Parenthood's history. Well, I wonder about that. I wonder about that. My next guest is Peter Breen. Peter is with the Thomas More Society. And Thomas More is based in Chicago. They have been friends of mine for so many years. Peter serves in the Illinois Assembly. He is a special counsel with Thomas More Society, and in that capacity, they represent David Del Leiden, who has had one lawsuit after another brought against him for what he did in those undercover videos. And Peter joins us this morning from Chicago. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Sandy. How are you?
I'm really good. It's nice to hear your voice, Peter.
Hey,
I'm just curious, are you guys representing David Del Leiden on all of the law cases or just the one that we're going to talk about this morning?
Well, we're representing him in most of them. We represented him in the criminal cases in Texas. I mean, you know, there have been a whole host of matters. We've got a pretty substantial legal team. You know, there's one case where we're not representing him, but we very closely consult with the attorneys there. I mean, there were about six or seven independent legal matters, big rough legal matters that were pending. That number goes up and down depending on what Planned Parenthood and avaricious attorneys general and local prosecutors do with regards to David.
And of course, that's how the left punishes, is through the courts. And this is what, let me just say that Tom Brekka is the founder, Thomas More. Tom became a friend of mine when he went to bat for Joe Scheidler with Pro-Life Action League. And this is an old story, but it's one of the most dramatic stories in the pro-life movement. And so Tom actually gave up lucrative work to start this, taking a chance to defend people like David Del Leiden. And now, Peter, you're the new generation, and you are doing this. I want to kind of describe for us, before we go into this case, you touched on it, but what's happened with David Del Leiden since these videos became public?
Well, David has not stopped his investigation. I mean, he is an investigator. That is his role. I mean, that is his mindset. Everything about him wants to discover the truth. And he has been doing that, you know, so he did it undercover for 30 months. And since that time, he has been working with public officials, as a law enforcement, others, and trying to continue. Now, you know, he got all this video. He was able to actually speak to the key players in places where they felt comfortable talking to him. And he was able to get incredible admissions out of them. I mean, you were playing tape, he went into abortion clinics and went in and saw baby parts, saw how the process is done. And so what he's doing now is continuing the research. You saw the Congress has had a special select panel for the last year that had been doing some very substantial work using the congressional power of subpoena. And then, which will come to our current case, David is filing FOIA requests, open records requests, with government entities across the country, because our taxpayer-funded entities are often wrapped up in this practice of trafficking in baby body parts.
That's kind of, wait, you got to say that again in a different way. How can that be?
Well, I mean, look, you know, the University of Washington, which was the subject of one of our latest subject of this latest lawsuit, they run something that it's called euphemistically the Birth Defects Research Laboratory. So that's a wonderful name. The problem is they are one of the leading clearinghouses for aborted baby body parts in the country. So this publicly funded entity, out of the University of Washington, so paid for by the taxpayers, the people of the state of Washington, along with grants from the federal government, you essentially, as a researcher, you can go to them and you can order baby body parts, and they go and find it from a local abortion clinic or somewhere, and then they'll get it to you.
And
they do some of their own research on baby body parts.
Well, and we should say that's illegal. That's illegal. You cannot, if I understand it, Peter, the law says, does it not, that you cannot sell for profit baby body parts. You can charge whatever it costs to harvest or ship, but you can't make a profit. Isn't that correct?
Yes, yes. And you've seen David's videos kind of started the real serious public look at this. I mean, the issue had been looked at over a decade ago, and now David has restarted the conversation. And a lot of the work that's happening with prosecutors and with the Congress has not gotten the media attention, as you had alluded to. And it's just some of it is quiet investigative work. So it's not, when you're putting together a case, you don't necessarily want attention. I'm hopeful that under the new administration, you could see the Department of Justice actually now looking at criminal issues here and other violations of law. The select panel from Congress, they specifically cited David's work. Obviously, he was the instigator. They did a years-long investigation. They have already issued double digits criminal referrals for Planned Parenthood, for Planned Parenthood entities, other entities. Senator Grassley on the Senate side has issued a criminal referral for Planned Parenthood Federation of America. So there's a lot there that's happening. It's just you don't necessarily hear about it. You don't hear about it on the evening news. So it's something that kind of leaves our consciousness. That's kind of the thing right now. There are things happening, but you don't necessarily hear about it.
Yes, expand what you just explained. Marsha Blackburn was the chairman of that committee, and March Bell was the attorney who led the investigation. And of course, they found that they released a 15 criminal and regulatory referrals to the select investigative panel, to federal, state, and local authorities. And of course, under Jeff Sessions as attorney general, God willing, these will be prosecuted. I know they will be, Peter. And let me just say, they found that a number of middlemen, tissue procurement businesses, and abortion clinics may have violated the federal statute that makes it a 10-year felony to profit from the sale of human fetal tissue. They also found, so this is very personal to women listening to me, they found that many of these entities may have violated the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, Privacy Acts. What does that mean? It means that women were signing, transferring the rights to their babies, thinking that they were going to help cure diseases where there's absolutely no proof that any kind of fetal tissue cures these. They were misled. And also their privacy was not guarded in this very personal matter. This has had real human cost in addition to just this salacious, that's not even bad enough word, selling of these little parts of babies to make profits. Remember, one worker in Planned Parenthood speculated maybe she could get a Lamborghini with all the money that they could make. But, Peter, let's go back to your case. Now, you said that David Dellyden has been issuing these FOIA requests, and there's a case that a decision was made out of the University of Washington, and that's what we should touch on at least. What's going on with that right now?
Well, and this is, the Freedom of Information Act or Open Records Act in each state is a key tool for citizens to watch their government and to track the use of their tax dollars. David's been issuing these FOIA requests, the open records requests. Well, in Washington, the abortion industry and the University of Washington staff got together. They filed a class action lawsuit against David to try to get an injunction against him from getting the unredacted records he was requesting. This is incredible that it could impact the ability of pro-life people and pro-life investigators on any topic touching abortion from getting government records other than heavily scrubbed. government records. So they wanted what they called personally identifying information, but they defined that as their job titles, locations where folks work. So think about it. You're an investigator. You've got to be able to track the flow of funds, the way that they're moving these baby parts back and forth. And you can't even get the job title of the person or even the location where the baby parts are moving back and forth from or the invoices that show who's paying whom for these baby parts. And the injunction has now been issued. They got a preliminary injunction on federal constitutional grounds. So they're saying that the United States Constitution prevents a citizen from being able to get a government document without it being heavily scrubbed if it involves fetal tissue research.
So you guys are challenging this. I'm guessing that the courts in Washington are not terribly friendly to you guys.
Well, yeah, we had a rough go in the district court, but again, we are the precedent here is incredible. The U.S. Supreme Court, the latest cases on this, have opined that most likely there's no right at all, even slight right, under the U.S. Constitution for what we call informational privacy. So, but even here, I mean, they've taken it to a much different level they've got a group of John Does who are government employees along with abortion clinic employees doing business for the government. And the government employees are saying, we have rights to not have the public know about our government-funded, this is taxpayer-funded work performed on government computers as part of our government employment. So they're saying, hey, we can close off these documents. So anything involving fetal tissue, obviously anything involving abortion, it would be entirely scrubbed, those documents. So the public would not be able to know anything about what's going on in that industry.
So you have appealed to the Ninth Circuit Court, which of course is called the Ninth Circus, also notably on the left. I mean, do you expect, Peter, you think this will go to the Supreme Court?
Well, we are going to push it as far as it needs to go. And we got a very bad decision on the preliminary injunction. It was very much against us on that. And so we are taking that up right now. In the federal system, you are able to immediately appeal a preliminary injunction, and that it's really a full dress appeal. So it will get the legal issues squared away so that we're going to have better clarity. In fact, the case at the trial is probably going to be stayed while we go up on appeal to the Ninth Circuit. The issue here is not an issue. Once it gets into government and how we regulate ourselves as a free people, how the taxpayers are able to look and see what their government is doing, I mean, the issues go well beyond abortion or fetal tissue, and they go to self-government. And so it's my sincere hope that the openness, the open tradition of government, particularly in the state of Washington, where this case comes out of, that open tradition will be upheld, and we will not change, as we have in some other areas of law, that we will not create special exemptions just because something involves abortion or aborted babies.
Absolutely. Special protections because it's abortion. It is amazing, and that has become the norm, and it is absolutely unexcusable. The issue should be handled as the law states and not given preference or deference or given an escape clause because it deals with abortion. No question about it. Peter, isn't it interesting, we only have a minute left here, but that all of this is boiling down to courts again. And we have a new administration and all these new, a new justice waiting to be appointed. So many things could change, couldn't they?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, look, we've got three branches of government. We have to press at every branch. And you're always kind of fighting. I mean, you're either on offense sometimes, you're on defense other times. At this point, I'm very much hopeful that we are going to be on offense at the legislative branch, executive branch. We're playing a little defense in the judicial branch right now. And we've got to do that until some of those other branches maybe pull the judicial branch along on the pro-life side.
You know, Peter, I just want to say quickly, one of the things I like about you guys, Thomas More Society, is that you fight aggressively and you fight to win. And it's no apologizing, finding the middle ground. It's being smart, but fighting hard, as you did for Joe Scheidler and Scheidler versus National Organization for Women. So, Peter, we wish you the best, and I hope we can talk again to keep up with what's going on with this case and with David Dowd-Lyden. I'm so grateful that you guys are the ones defending him.
Thank you, Sandy.
All right, have a great day. Great to talk to you.
Hey, thank you. You too.
All right, Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Years have passed since I was a child and read the story of David, the shepherd boy, who said, "When a lion came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it." Oh boy, this is Johnny Erickson Tada, and I still am helped by that way David approached the lions in his life. Did you hear it? He went after them. His courage reminds me, not only do I need not be afraid of my adversary, the devil, I can be brave when lion-sized trials come looking for me to destroy my faith or claw away at my peace of mind. Friend, we can face trials head-on, because each trial gives us a chance to demonstrate to an unbelieving world that Jesus is Lord. So dare to be a David today. When a trial comes creeping and growling into your life, go after it, just like David the psalmist.
Human life really isn't as valued on our planet as it should be.
The discussion of civil rights has traditionally been limited to the issue of race. But as Dr. Alveda King points out, life itself is a civil right.
We speak about life from conception until natural death. And so anything that interrupts that also interferes with our civil rights.
Visit afastore.net to find the DVD Life is a Civil Right and all the resources of the AFA Cultural Institute.
When you hear about terrorists targeting churches, what do you think, and what should the pastor and church leadership do? Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, host of Stand in the Gap Weekend, heard here every Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time. Is it wrong for a church to have a security team? Should congregants be encouraged to carry firearms in self-defense? Join me as I talk with Leo Homan, news editor of WorldNet Daily, about this critical issue on Stand in the Gap Weekend this Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time.
We've always had an interest. God has given us a gift of being able to help a lot of people with their finances and budgets and stuff.
AFA supporters Bernie and Alice Larson met Dan Celia at a Faith, Family, and Finance town hall meeting.
And he answered some questions, and we were thinking about the charitable gift annuities, and we'd never heard of that before, but we thought, well, we'd always wanted to leave some of our money for God, but we didn't know where or how. And we felt like this was put into our laps as answer to our prayers as to what we could do after we're gone.
Bernie and Alice learned a charitable gift annuity from the AFA Foundation would provide them with a monthly income for life, as well as supporting the American Family Association into the future. You can learn more about charitable gift annuities and other financial products at afafoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
And you just can't outgive God.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. One of Barack Obama's most malignant legacies may prove to be the steps his administration took to exacerbate threats to Americans from Sharia supremacists here at home. To cite but a few examples, hundreds of thousands of unassimilable refugees, many of them unvetted, proliferating jihadist mosques and Islamic centers, Muslim Brotherhood front groups allowed to manipulate and subvert U.S. security policies. To such potentially suicidal travesties, we must now add another. After 2 years of secret negotiations, Treasury Secretary Jack Lew granted a contract to run parts of Florida's strategically located Port Canaveral to a UAE-based company owned by the family of Saddam Hussein's nuclear bomb maker. It also has ties to Iran. What could possibly go wrong? Donald Trump should terminate this arrangement forthwith as part of a wholesale revisiting of all these perilous Obama decisions. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. It really is nice to be back with you. It's the holidays are wonderful, but it's kind of nice to get back to normal, isn't it? Whatever normal is. I keep looking for that. We were talking before I leave this issue of Planned Parenthood and David Del Eyden. A couple of things I wanted to share with you. Again, Cecile Richards is complaining that this Congress is the most dangerous moment in our history. Well, I hope so. I hope so. I hope so. And she says extremist lawmakers are dead set on blocking 2.5 million people a year from accessing care at Planned Parenthood health centers. Of course, we know that Planned Parenthood is the largest abortion provider in the nation. That's the health care they talk about. And when they talk about women's health internationally and tie it to American aid, it's about abortion services. Is there nothing more to women's health than abortion? Are you kidding me? This is another case where we have been, our minds have been twisted and molded and shaped into untruths because that is not women's health. And I can tell you firsthand, thank God I never had an abortion. I was spared that. God spared me because he loved me early and I served him early. But if I had had one, I know the stories that women have told me through the years of all the things, all the heartache, the birthdays that come, the dates that sting them. I realize some women don't care, but I think that many of them do. It causes depression. And also, if they go on to marry their spouse, it often causes a resentment and a barrier in the marriage. It's just a hurt and a disappointment maybe in each other because it is unnatural to kill your children. It's unnatural for dads to allow it. It's unnatural for mothers to allow it also. And then, of course, they're the ones that have to go through the trauma of it. So it's not good for women's health. Come, please. Let's rewrite the script and stop speaking about silly things like that. But of course, here goes Cecile with her lies that she's been telling herself for how many years, I don't know. She says, without the promise of a presidential veto, there's only one thing that can stop this destructive agenda. Us, you, me, and millions of Planned Parenthood supporters locked arm in arm. And could I say to those of you who are listening to me, there may be some of you who have women who've had abortions and some of you who are hurt when I talk about this, and some who are mad when I talk about this, some who oppose the position that life is sacred and abortion should not be legal. I've had them come out of crowds and nearly attack me for things. It isn't about me. I finally recognized that there is such pain, even it either turns to depression or it turns to anger. And women who have gone through this once, twice, more than once, have given themselves an out by saying, well, it's legal. So they think because it's legal, it is moral. At least they've told themselves that. I think deep down they don't believe that, but they cannot face deep down. It hurts too much. And so rather than change the law so that their daughters don't have to go through the pain of loss and regret and the sin of it and the self-condemnation, they would rather continue and have their girls follow them doing the very same thing than to admit before a holy God what they did, ask for forgiveness, and get a fresh start. This is what I see. And if any of you are listening to me and this has been your story, two things. First of all, there's nothing that you have done that God can't forgive. I was just telling someone a few nights ago about when I was on radio in Chicago, Jeffrey Dahmer was a serial murderer, and he cannibalized his victims. And while I was on the air, he was arrested, convicted. He went to jail, and I ended up doing an interview with the man who was discipling him, because Jeffrey Dahmer became a Christian in jail. And then he was, not long after that, killed by someone by a knife inside the prison. So it was quite a discussion I had, and I think I had it on more than one occasion, with the man who discipled him. And this is what he said to me. He said, this came to me through a woman who was corresponding with him. She asked him if he'd be interested in studying the Bible, and he said yes, and then she contacted me. And he said, I can tell you, I did not want to do that. I did not want to go into that prison and sit across from that man and talk to him about the gospel and share Christ with him. I did not want to be in the same room with him, but I did. And it was a labor. It was a labor of obedience. And he said, and then one day Jeffrey Dahmer prays to receive Christ and his life was changed. I saw it. And I would say the guy that discipled him, even at that point, wasn't tender toward Jeffrey Dahmer. He was obedient, kind of like Jonah preaching to Nineveh. And so Jeffrey Dahmer, this is not a guy who discipled him wearing it as a badge of honor, like, I disciple. It was nothing like that. He was reluctant. He didn't want to do it. He publicly said that to me. And the point is this. If God can forgive a man who kills many, many people and cannibalizes them, does that not tell us the kind of God we have? There is nothing he can't forgive. I think so many of us live under a cloud of condemnation. and we just don't understand. So if this is you, and even you feel like you've been forgiven, but you keep revisiting it, don't do that. That is not God. God's response when Jesus caught the woman, and he didn't catch the woman in adultery, when they brought her, dragged her before him, he said to her, he asked her to, she confessed her sin, she admitted it, and he said, now go and sin no more. That's our God. Just stop. Don't do it again. If you ask forgiveness, you're forgiven. Now just stop it. Every day fresh. Every day a new day. Every moment new. This was what makes our God so unique. There's no other God like him. Every day a fresh start, morning by morning, new mercies. And for those of you who are listening who are angry at me for saying things like this, I would just say, you must confess your sin. You must admit what you've done. You must admit that you murdered your child. You must admit the terrible deed that you did. You have to admit it before a holy God and then ask his forgiveness. And until you admit it and ask forgiveness, there will be no fresh start for you. There will be no morning by morning new mercies I see. You will live with that burden to your grave. And why would you do that? Why would you do that out of stubbornness for confessing? I don't understand that. And I would just encourage you in the strongest terms, if you want to restore your mental health, if you want to restore your marriage, if you want to restore your life, your relationships, get right with God. And that means bring your actions into subjection with the holy God, voluntarily, lovingly. And then once you do and you realize how he can forgive you, you will love him so much you won't ever want to go back. All right, I got on a sidetrack here, but I had to. The anniversary of Roe versus Wade is coming up, and the big March for Life is coming up in Washington, D.C. It will be, what is the date on this? I thought I had it. Oh, January 27th. If you have never been to this march, could I encourage you to make plans to go? Now, I mean, it is every pro-lifer needs to go to this march. It never gets covered in the press as it actually happens. It's tens of thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of people marching in the streets of Washington in the most beautiful way. And so it's a good day to go. And by the way, this is interesting to me. A Pew study found recently that 69% of Americans say that Roe versus Wade should not be overturned. Only 28% of Americans said it should be overturned. But stay with me for a second. That's not what you think. Polling continually shows that the large majority of Americans, 8 out of 10, would limit abortion at most to the first 3 months of pregnancy. And if you ask about Roe versus Wade generically, people will say they support it. But when you break it down, and people come to know that Roe versus Wade created the abortion on demand culture, they are vehemently against it. So it's not what you think, it's perception. And so that's good news. And by the way, just as a sidebar, another stat that came out this morning, Gallup polled and said that adults in America, 36% of them now claim to be conservative and 25% liberal. Isn't that interesting? Didn't you think it was different? Didn't you kind of think it was different? But it isn't. And so that's another interesting stat. The inauguration is coming up in just mere days, really. And yesterday we learned, I think this is really interesting. I can't imagine her doing this, but she's doing it. Mrs. Clinton and her husband, the former president, Bill Clinton, will be there. I'm sure they'll be up on the dais when Donald Trump takes the oath of office. That's going to be something. And so are former President George W. Bush and his wife, Laura. And, you know, they were so dead set against Donald Trump, too, that's interesting, isn't it? George W. Bush's office issued a statement saying he and his wife are pleased to be able to witness the peaceful transfer of power, a hallmark of American democracy, and swearing in of President Trump. It'll be interesting if they can burn tear down some of the walls between them and forge a relationship. If President Bush could do that with Bill Clinton, after Bill Clinton trashed his dad, and then went on to say he was a brother from another mother, I don't think so, by the way, then surely he can forge a relationship with Donald Trump. And I bet he will, because he's that kind of guy. And by the way, there are other plans for the inauguration by others, as you know. Organizers of the Women's March on Washington estimate 200,000 people will participate in its inauguration weekend protest. They're calling it the Gathering for Justice. And their application to get a permit says the march's purpose is to come together in solidarity to express to the new administration and Congress that women's rights are human rights and our power cannot be ignored. You know, I am the most anti-feminist person in the world. I'm so sick of women's rights. I really am. I'm ready for like chimpanzee rights or something. I'm sick of hearing about it. Women and their rights. You know, women should be treated with respect. I actually think they are. I think in this culture, women have just as many privileges and opportunities as men. I think as I remember one stat, this has been quite a long time ago, I think there are more women graduating from college than men now. And in the medical field and all other fields, it's just amazing. So come on, enough already, you know, enough already. You've been hearing a lot about people performing at the inauguration. Oh, by the way, this is interesting to me. This year, instead of there being like 10, at least 10 inaugural balls, and often many more than that, Donald Trump has said only three inaugural balls, and he's going to go to three of them. Also, on the parade, it can last anywhere between 6 and 7 hours. He says, nope, I think it's only going to be 3 hours, and then he's going to go to the White House and start working. Isn't that interesting? And so the Rockettes have been asked to perform, and they're going to do it. But one of them is not too happy. Autumn Withers, she's a former Rockette. She says, to perform for someone that represents everything that we as women have ever had to overcome is contrary to everything we know to be right and true. Now, could I say, I understand why a girl like Autumn Withers would say that based on Trump's statements. I'm not denigrating that. I just think it needs to be pointed out to Autumn that people do change. And also the proof is in the pudding. We see how Donald Trump treats his, well, at least we think we see, how he treats his wife and his daughter and the women that work for him. And it doesn't comport with the abuse that has come out of his mouth and that off the camera microphone. So I guess, you know, it's the same thing. Like, you have to watch what people do, not what they say. That's important in every situation. So we're watching. We're watching to see how Donald Trump treats women. It looks to me like he has a pretty good track record of that. Publicly, and at least in the cases that I just stated. Patty DiCarlo Grantham, who is the president of the Rockette Alumni Association, wrote this in response to Autumn Withers' comment. She said, we are all aware how contentious this election has been for our country, but she added, the only thing the Rockettes should be focused on is performing for our nation and helping unite us with all the joy, love, beauty, and strength for which they are famous. So the Rockettes will be performing, and there's some talk of Andrea Bocelli. I don't know if he's going to be there or not. Mormon Tabernacle Choir is going to perform. And yes, I'll be there. And some of us from AFA will be there. Tim will be there and some others. And we'll be watching the parade. We'll be going to one of the inaugural balls. There's an inaugural ball just set apart for Christians, which will be interesting. And we'll tell you all about that. We'll give you a play-by-play report of what that's like and what happens. It's a time of optimism. And again, could I emphasize, our hope is not in a president. Our hope is not in a party. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. But for this moment in time, God has granted us peace in our country, at least the beginnings of making peace and throwing out the olive branch and bringing home jobs and creating a future for our children. There's nothing wrong with wanting that. And so we do. And we're grateful. We're so grateful to God for this. All right, Sandy Rios with you. I'll be back tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.